Hello, it's Paula here, curiously alive and wondering, just here trash talking. The other day, I ran across something on Facebook, and I saw something called decriminalized nature, and I was like, nature? Criminalized? No way! I don't want that! So I decided I would go show, I would show up at in a space where I had some curiosities, because I've had some experience in my lifetime with entheogens. And this night, I learned what entheogens are, and that has led me to this conversation in this moment with Lucien, yes. Where I was introduced to the underground workings of a movement that has a lot of connections and benefits to us locally and nationally. So I'm here, curious, open, and ready to learn. On a nice Saturday afternoon.
Yes, and I'm Lucien. I'm the initiator / ringleader in a sort of way for Decriminalized Nature Tacoma. It's a local chapter of the national and actually now global movement called Decriminalized Nature, where our goal is to declare and amend local policies that the investigation and arrest of individuals involved with the adult use of entheogenic plants on the federal Schedule 1 list be among the lowest priority for the city of Tacoma. So it's not legalizing, it's decriminalizing. And if you're not familiar with what an entheogen is, I just wanted to get the exact definition in front of me, and it is a psychoactive substance which induces alterations in perception, mood, consciousness, cognition, or behavior, evoking feelings of spiritual nature. And those include mushrooms, cacti, iboga, ayahuasca, and extracted combinations of plants of those sorts. Yeah. Long intro from me, but just thought I'd cover all of my initial bases first.
One of the things that caught my eye was the name entheogens from a language standpoint, because when you look at all of the parts of that word, it's like the food of the gods.
Yeah. Yeah, it absolutely is. There's actually a book called Food of the Gods by Terence McKenna, which I've been reading to help me with the history of entheogens and understanding, especially like how the mushroom has grown with us and co-evolved with us over many, many years. Yeah.
That's beautifully said.
Thank you.
Food of the gods. How? Oh man, that's visionary right there. Wonderful. So I'm so happy that there is some work to be done.
It's a lot of work.
What is so decriminalize? What is that? What would that look like in action? If let's say, what is the first thing that?
Decriminalization involves no longer supporting the local law enforcement agencies in the investigation and arrest of the usage of these medicines. So they're not getting funding to go out and look for arrest, conduct investigations for that. There's a sort of implied understanding that we are turning the other cheek and that we can't change things on a federal level yet, but we are changing things, or we are desiring to change things on a local level, and acknowledge that these medicines are really important and there's so much evidence backing their usage and healthfulness and just ability to assist us through difficult times. and that we can't restrict their use anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially right now. It's kind of crazy right now.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people need some help with these plans.
Yeah.
Just to at least break out of their own matrices. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah.
Wonderful.
There's just one central difference between decriminalization. Well, there's more than one central difference, but the big difference to keep in mind between decriminalization and legalization is that the DEA is still on the move and is utilizing the presence of this particular movement to keep an eye out for people who are dealing mushrooms or other entheogenic plants, and dealing is still not allowed. However, there's a phrase that we use at decrim, which is gift, gather, grow, and gifting would be allowed. You just can't like make a profit off of your, can't make money off of your medicine. It's more, oh, I care about you. I'm growing these things. Please take them. Please use them.
Right.
Yeah.
And that really is in alignment with a lot of the things that I'm striving for and envision to, is like, how do we care for our community? And in this mm-hmm. way, we've come, like, I, from the different curiosities I've had through listening to Paul Stamets and Joe Rogan and mm-hmm. these people who have looked into a lot of the research and have done their own personal research. And through my experiences, it seems as if there's so much connection that we notice in having our own experience and with the way that we have to talk about and build with, like, we just have to lean into the community to get the, I don't know, it's just like taking it, when there's no profit, when we are in a society that is capitalistic, there's mm-hmm. there's something behind that feels like there's a lot of heart, which is, and in my experience, this softens my journey in a way that
the gifting and the sort of intercommunity connection you mean. Mm-hmm. Okay, not the capitalistic.
Yeah, not the capitalistic.
Like, capitalism does not seem very soft to me.
Yeah. That's, and moving away from that, that's like the, it feels like softer.
Yeah. It is. It is definitely. I've been calling it like mushrooms are connected to each other underground via a system called mycelium, and it's also how they connect to trees and talk to trees and talk to each other and figure out what each other need. And I like defining or sort of paralleling this movement and what it's causing in communities to that mycelium, and that we're like all sort of underground connecting to each other, finding out what we need, like growing this sort of spiritual mycelium with each other, which is very, very cool. Yeah. I really enjoy it. The term synchronicity would be very good to use here, because I just keep, as I'm like doing this work, I keep feeling those coming up, and it's just interesting. It's just interesting how things align with that. I have been handed a piece of paper with questions. For people who don't know the research behind behind the benefits of entheogens, what are the benefits, and can you give examples? I mean, I could talk from my own experience and talk from as well as you, I'm sure. I mean, my first experience was with LSD, which is not a plant-based entheogen as chemical. But soon after I experienced mushrooms, and then the most sort of spiritually changing entheogen that I came to know was ayahuasca. And she's been like my greatest teacher in life. And with ayahuasca, she makes you dive into some pretty dark places to find out where certain things in your current experience are coming from. And that means like revisiting childhood trauma a lot of the time for people, or like relationship trauma, or awakening you to like certain patterns. She's so good at patterns. I mean, they're all so good at patterns because that's what their nature is made up of. They're just so good at isolating things on one side and then interconnecting those isolating things. Once you like decide to go into that, they lead you into another area of your mental health and really create this very interesting web of understanding and help you find out all of the pieces to the puzzle. And like not even just within the experience itself, but afterwards is probably the most important part of any entheogenic experience, the integration of it. Because it's one thing to like be in it and like understand in it, but what I've heard so many people say is that, oh, that just felt like a dream, and like I'm already forgetting parts of it. I'm like, yes, but you need to write things down, write things down, and find out those core understandings that came to you, and begin to integrate them into your experience. And this can help people with PTSD a lot. Once again, I can speak to that. Can help people with anxiety. I got off antidepressants after LSD, because I was just enlightened to all of the love surrounding me and the inner workings of the universe, and that it was just, I didn't feel like I needed to dull down my experience anymore. And antidepressants are rough. They just like flatten you out. Like your wavelength just becomes like a, like you, like your heart just stopped on what is that called, a cardiogram?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can't taste things.
Huh?
You can't taste things.
That happened like, to you?
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I was working at Starbucks during that time, so I could taste all of the things. But mushrooms have been especially good with people for quitting smoking. Ayahuasca, again, really good with, personally, for alcohol dependence, releasing yourself from that, just breaking patterns is what they're really good at, showing you the patterns and then helping you to break them. And there are, I have pages of research citations next to me, and I'm ready and able to send those out to anybody who asks. So if you find, if you need those, want those, access to those, you're free to come into contact with me and I'll send you all I got.
Beautiful.
But, Paula, do you want to speak to any of your experiences?
Yeah. I would say in my life, I guess, like recently, I've been introduced to the mushroom world through like different ones, like chaga, mm-hmm. and of course, like psilocybin, have been really intrigued on like the effects of microdosing, and there's certain research that I've seen and heard about that says that it can help regulate like serotonin, and how people who will have an experience will kind of have a realization, or like, let's back up to my experience here. yeah, I would say for me, yeah, let's go a little personal here, okay? A little into Paula's world. I was a younger version of myself once, and I lived in this little trailer park, and I lived with some other young people, and it was in the South, and we had, okay, and let's see. There was this time where I went outdoors, and And I was just picking stuff up, and I noticed just the simple act and how gratifying it was to just be able to look at something and know that it maybe not is not useful, but in the action of, like, doing this simple thing, I guess I had, like, this realization of just how a simple thing could lead to much bigger things, and the connection that we can all have to doing what we can where we can. And that kind of feeling, that sensation, that realization has always stuck with me, that has brought a different kind of gratitude into, like, the way that I do things. And recently, I heard, you know, the way you do anything is the way you do everything. So being able mm-hmm. to go into an experience and be open to the way that you learn things, or being able to see something simple and magnifying that on a bigger scale. I don't know. It has made a very clear impact and has stuck with me into, you know, fast forwarding into now, where I see so much benefit in building community around the gratifying and sustainable, and you know, picking up the things that may be unsightly, but to get them out of the way so that we can see beauty in the spaces that we live. So
you gotta do that in yourself too.
Yeah, yeah. So it starts from within, and there's so much research that backs that it can bring in a lot of health. So that's my curiosity has brought me to spaces that know more than me. So thank you for your time. Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't even say that they know more than you. It's just that there's that knowledge in you that hasn't quite been awakened yet.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's like a phrase where it's I've been keeping it in mind recently, and when you said the way you do anything is the way you do everything, which I do, yes, believe, also reminded me of the idea that, or rather the truth that anything that you experience is experienced within yourself. You can never experience things out of yourself. It's like even somebody touching your hand, you're not feeling their hand, you're feeling your body's response and interpretation of that hand. Anything you see through your eyes is just light reflected off of I forget what they're called, the cones mm-hmm. in your eyes. But everything sort of has to pass through your own barrier. And the same thing with, same thing goes for plants and medicinal plants, is that they're using you, they're going through you as a medium. And so they're going to meet you where you're at. And I think a lot of people get frustrated sometimes with some journeys because they don't understand that. They're like, oh, I didn't have this big breakthrough experience like you. And it's like, because you're not ready for that yet. And that's okay. You gotta work your way up. It just depends on where you're at. And also, like, how open you are to them. I was asked to list the entheogenic plants that we're covering again in the resolution that we're proposing to City Council. And that's mushrooms, cacti includes San Pedro and peyote. However, due to peyote's it's kind of in trouble because there has been over harvesting, so we are just putting cacti so as to not promote the over harvesting of peyote. Iboga is a very interesting plant that is especially helpful with PTSD, and plants and or extracted combinations of plants similar to ayahuasca, which is a tea that's made from a combination of plants, namely a vine and I believe a leaf. And the effects of those are all very different. They all have their own energetic signatures, so to speak. When you're saying effects, are you asking like the particular experience? Okay. Mushrooms I've always experienced as being like very very kind to me every time I've taken them. However, I've only taken smaller dosages of mushrooms. If you do something like a hero dose of 5 grams, you're going to get something very different. Which is a more intense deep diving experience and not to be recommended for your first time. At least I wouldn't think so. They've always been very kind and connecting and very slight visuals for me, like a little bit of meltiness, but again, taken smaller dosages. They're just very relaxing for me, and I laugh so much with them. They just make everything hilarious, and like there's a Buddhist term called satori, which is and I come from a Buddhist background, so there's that. But satori means like a sudden understanding that just makes you laugh so much about it because it's like so clear to see, but you're like, oh wow, like that was in front of me the whole time. Humans are idiots. We're not idiots. We're a little blind sometimes. I have not experienced cacti yet, so I cannot speak to that. Nor have I experienced iboga. But there are very specific ceremonial practices, specific to cultures that use those. The Bwiti tribe are the main practitioners of iboga, and they have some very interesting practices surrounding that. The music that they play for iboga particularly, because music is always a very important part of these journeys with these plants. You should just look it up and experience it. It's really cool. and San Pedro and Peyote are two different cacti and are rooted in Native American medicine, as well as other Native tribes too. Specifically, San Pedro is sometimes used after ayahuasca to help close people's energies up, because ayahuasca just opens you up so much. And some people who maybe aren't so practiced being grounded can get like a little nervous, like, oh, I just learned so much stuff in a course of 8 hours. Having San Pedro afterwards helps ground them and like bring this divine masculine sense to them that helps them integrate a bit better. And I mean, ayahuasca was the most intense thing I've ever done in my life, but also the most important, I believe. It snapped me out of living in a video game simulation, which I'm writing a book about, and I'm glad to tell you about that anytime. Mm-hmm. It's very absurd, but it's a brutally honest plant that kind of it shocks you at first, I believe, and then sort of closes you up, it brings the beauty of it back to you. It's like, yes, you were doing these things, but it's okay because you were just looking out for yourself. It's really good at reminding me about that.
I would say it's been beautiful learning about your experiences. I think that there's something that's in my head that's set and setting.
Yeah, which is, I was just thinking that too. It's so important.
Yes, no matter what you decide to do, how you decide to take this information or your curiosity, remind yourself that when you go through any journey, it's about where your mind's at. So your mindset and your setting. What's the music? What's the lighting? What are you going to be touching? Who are you going to be
around? Are you in a safe space?
Yeah.
You better be.
Because when you're healing or when you're learning, you want to be able to feel comfortable to express yourself, to ask those questions, no matter what it is that you're trying to absorb. So be patient with yourself, be gentle, and ask questions. You never know where that could lead, and what that connection or what we have to learn. And speaking of that, once you have knowledge, it's what you do with that knowledge that then mm-hmm. brings us to an even higher state. So now that we have a little information, a little introduction, what can people listening do? Where can we get in contact with you, your efforts, and like next steps? Like how can we get underground in this?
Yeah. Well, we have the decriminalized nature of Oakland provided us with a 7-step framework with which to proceed. It's sort of while we're doing it, and also once the entheogens have been decriminalized in Tacoma. Some of it we can do right now, some of it we can't, and that requires that resolution to be passed already. But the 7 steps are, number one, gaining information about these things. So if you're somebody who's like, I'm directing this towards anybody who's brand new into entheogenic plant practices, or who wants to learn more. Maybe you've been with them, had a bad trip, so to say, but are like interested in trying again. Number two, educating. We want to be able to provide talks and circles, events that educate people on how to set themselves up for success, including set and setting, and mm-hmm. letting people know that quote unquote bad trips are usually a result of bad set and bad setting. Intention is everything. Number three is preparation, how you can prepare yourself for these journeys.
Hydrate,
have very easy to eat snacks. Sometimes you might not even want to eat for a while. Ayahuasca in particular has something called the dieta, which is recommended to follow before, and that just includes limiting certain substances, food, salt, sugar, caffeine. I always get a caffeine headache, or I've always gotten a caffeine headache while preparing. Number four is application. How this thing is brought to you. Five is integration, and we're in the midst of preparing peer integration circles. To help people connect with others that can provide feedback if desired, or just a safe space to share your experiences. Six is implementation into like the city structure. Like, who can we turn to if professionally? Like, are there psychologists who are ready and able to receive people who are experiencing like massive life changes due to these things? And number seven is reciprocity. How are we giving back to the people of Tacoma, to these plants, keeping them going, to the pre-existing native tribes, the Puyallup tribe, who I believe do have their own plant practices. And even if not, you know, still honoring the native tribes that do. How we can help protect them, how we can honor them and honor the land that we're on. So what can listeners do, given all that information? You can get into contact with us on Instagram. We are can't even remember my own Instagram. All right. decriminalize_Tacoma. You can also get in touch with us on Facebook. It's Decriminalized Nature Tacoma. You're free to email me, luciennevidego@gmail.com. Ask me any questions. We are also scheduling more mingles where you can like talk to us in person. There are other team members besides me doing this work, who are ready and willing to talk to people who have questions. The action that's needed right now mostly is just connecting people who are interested, mobilizing the community around us right now and getting everybody educated as much as possible so that no misinformation is spread, and just getting research notes, papers, peer-reviewed papers on these things out, academic legitimacy of the resources with which we provide people is super important, especially to City Council of Tacoma. And I should also mention that we were previously aiming to approach City Council this year. However, at our last meeting, we've decided, especially with Corona happening right now and everything shutting down, everything just like super rolled back. We're like, next year, let's slow down, connect the people that we have here around us, get them really well educated and ready and prepared and know what's coming, and go for it next year. So, yeah.
People power.
So out of breath.
Yes, thank you for all of that. Thank you. And you can find me, Paula D, at Trash Talk Tacoma on Instagram and on Facebook.
I love that. Trash talk.
Trash talk.
It's a pun.
Ha ha! Yeah, we could be a little punny sometimes.
Yeah, so. The universe works in that way.
Thank you for your time, and I hope you are well. Sanitize.
Yeah, stay safe, stay sanitized.
Yeah.
Elbow bump.
Thank you. And goodbye. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Radio Tacoma. Very much for allowing us to record and being hosted in your studio.
Yeah. It's beautiful. Yeah, thank you for everything.